Hi there. This is Gregory Abbott bringing you a program called How About That? Each week, How About That tries to keep you up to date on everything from gadgets to gizmos, oddities to curiosities. We try to bring you stories about the usual and the unusual, give you facts and fantasies, something old and something new. We hope you find it different, entertaining, and helpful. On today's program, we will bring you a very special guest, but more about that later. No matter what the weatherman says, and he and the weather have certainly been cutting some strange capers these past few months, it's spring. And not just because the calendar on your desk says so, either. No, all the old familiar signs are here. Take baseball, for example. This year, the big league trainers are saving a lot of money on their arnica and their alcohol for rubdowns. Pitching muscles just aren't going to be that sore, because Overhand Joe... That's the name, Overhand Joe, has been in there pitching at spring training camps. No, it's not a he, it's an it. Overhand Joe is a machine, a mechanical marvel that pitches a dozen balls a minute. Mixes them up, too, burns them in, or tosses in a slow one. Sends in a curveball, or one with a little spin. Overhand Joe never gets tired, never has sore muscles. Now, this is probably a very good thing for the spring circuit, but you know, I'm a little bit worried. Supposing someone might carry this thing too far and invent a mechanical umpire, then what would happen? Imagine poor Lippy DeRocher trying to win a decision from a mechanical umpire. I'm afraid his usual rhubarb would turn out to be just a plate of spinach. How about that? And here's item number two on our Spring Is Here list. Amateur gardeners should be delighted, if somewhat amazed, to learn that seed companies are now coating their seeds with a substance the same color as the flower that will grow from them. Now, with a few packets of seeds in your dining room table, you can lay out in advance a color-perfect flower garden. I'm not sure how this will work for people who, like Bing Crosby, are supposedly colorblind. But the rest of us? Oh, we'll know now ahead of time just how our garden will grow. In Technicolor. How about that? One more item that seems to go with seed catalogs, kite flying, and spring training is the game of golf. But I'm speaking of golf with a different twist, golf as it affects your front lawn. You don't see the connection? Well, this is it. Golf, of course, is played completely on grass. And so the quality of grass for perfect fairways and greens is a matter of utmost concern to the 6,000 private and public golf courses in the United States. What's more important is that their experiments in grass growing often lead to improvements that help you solve some of your lawn planting problems. One development that holds real promise is a grass discovered by a greenskeeper at a club in Pennsylvania. It's called Marion Bluegrass, and it's almost foolproof. This miracle grass is heat, drought, and disease resistant, and it will even outgrow crabgrass, one of the worst of the weeds. But don't sell your gardening tools just yet. Although the Department of Agriculture has given it a look-see and a full speed ahead, the supply of seed is still limited. Looks good for fall planting, though, so I'll keep it in mind to remind you. How about that? Perhaps you've thought that button, button, who's got the button was just a child's game, or maybe you thought there wasn't any answer to who's got the button. Well, there is an answer, as I found out the other day while I was reading my newspaper. And not just one button, mind you, but millions of them. You see, people collect them. Yes, sir, there are over 3,000 member collectors of the American Button Society alone, plus many more thousands of button collectors who don't belong to this national association. And they collect all sizes, kinds, and shapes of buttons. Military buttons, carved buttons, jeweled buttons, period buttons, even button buttons. Their search for buttons takes them everywhere from dusty attics to musty basements, from highlands to lowlands, military encampment sites from the Revolutionary War to World War II. Who knows, maybe even button shops. So if you're tired of butterfly wings or stamps or matchbook covers, here's an idea for you. As for me, I think I'll collect bows. Not as in bows and arrows, I'll have you know, but as in buttons and bows. How about that? I've been noticing more and more things lately made from rubber. Not the usual kind of rubber, but rather from the new soft, resilient rubber called latex foam. But just last night I noticed in a toy window some cute little animals made from this new product. Because of that, I was very happy to meet Miss Eleanor Ball. Miss Ball is a leading authority on the uses of this new latex foam rubber, so I asked her to drop by the studio today to tell us more about it. Miss Ball, I suppose no one can resist the temptation to comment that you have a very appropriate name to go with your business.
Yes, Mr. Abbott. And if anybody calls me Rubber Ball just once more, sometimes I wish my name were Cork.
That might be a corking good idea.
Oh, here we go again.
That's enough kidding, Miss Ball. You know, I have scads of questions to ask you, so let's get down to business. First, let me ask you this. Just what is latex foam?
Latex foam is the milk of the rubber tree, which is whipped and baked in ovens, just like a sponge cake, into a foamy substance. Actually, it's millions of tiny air bubbles encased in rubber.
I see. Well, is it true or just my imagination that practically every day we find some new use for latex foam? First thing I remember seeing made of this material was a mattress.
That's natural enough, because the making of mattresses was perhaps its first real big use in homes. But now we're making pillows out of latex foam and using lots of it for all kinds of modern, comfortable, upholstered furniture.
Wonderful. Well, are we using it for things outside the home?
Yes, and incidentally, we're beginning to wear it.
Well, how do you mean?
Baby shoes, for one thing. It's very comfortable. Grown-ups like to walk on it in the form of inner soles. Now that I think of it, a lot of athletes are wearing it in the form of protective padding. And we're even using it in fancy costumes at the opera and on the stage.
Really?
Just the other day, I heard that the Cleveland Indians are using it for the bases in their stadium.
You know, I believe I'd like to have a piece of it around when I drop things. You know, like eggs.
We're already using it for egg crates, and as protection in the shipping of fancy fruits, and to protect delicate instruments in packing cases.
You're way ahead of me. How long would it take you to list all of the uses for this new latex foam?
Well, have you about an hour and a half?
Oh, I wish we did have, but I'm sorry we already have run out of time. But I certainly thank you, Miss Ball, for coming down to tell us about the things we can do with this new natural rubber latex foam. And I promise never to make any more puns about your name. How about that? Here's a story about ice cream served in flames. Yes, that's right. Ice cream served all lighted up. Time was when flaming dishes meant things like crepe Suzette, shashlika, shish kebab, and all those other exotic foods generally associated with Antoine's in New Orleans, the Plaza in New York, the Pump Room in Chicago, or the Beverly Wilshire out Hollywood way. But soon maybe all of us will be able to enjoy a flaming dessert right in our favorite drugstore. A drug chain has invented what it calls a flaming nut sundae. This is how it's made. First, a half pint of ice cream is placed on top of a banana cut in two. Next comes hot chocolate sauce with a coating of powdered nuts. Then three marshmallow halves, each topped by a cube of sugar which has been dunked in lemon extract. A lighted match is held to the lumps of sugar, and there you have it, the flaming nut sundae. After a few of these, you may think your bathroom scales have gone berserk, but, oh, what a beautiful way to get fed up. How about that? And while we're still on the subject of food, here's a taste tip for cooks, both the everyday kind and the amateur, dirty every dish in the kitchen type. It's a tip on how to put some tasteful zip and zest into your favorite dishes, and how to recapture flavor, even when most of it seems to have boiled away. So ask your pepper, paprika, and salt sellers to move over, for here comes monosodium glutamate. Now don't worry, you'll never have to say, please pass me the monosodium glutamate, or even have to spell it. Already this, whatever it is called simply MSG, and it's prepared by half a dozen different manufacturers. MSG is a chemical, but chemists can't tell you whether it's a salt, flavor, or seasoning. It's a white powder that looks like sugar and salt, but has no odor of its own and is practically tasteless itself. What MSG does do is to bring out and accent the real flavor of whatever it's added to. It's rapidly becoming one of the housewife's best friends, for even if vegetables or other dishes have been cooked tasteless, MSG will revive them. I haven't heard that MSG will turn every blushing bride into an escoffier, or even that it will tenderize a tough piece of meat. But, As an amateur cook, I can assure you that it puts zippity-doo-dah into favorite dishes such as salads, spaghetti, stews, roasts, egg and fish dishes, and a host of other things. So, if you can, remember monosodium glutamate. If you can't, MSG will do. How about that? As you know, America's birth rate took a sharp rise during the war and is continuing at a new high level. According to a recent estimate by the Bureau of Census, there are now over 150 million people in the United States, and our population is increasing at the rate of 200,000 every month. This means that during the next 5 years, enrollments in our elementary schools will increase by millions, overtaxing already crowded school facilities. Almost every community in the United States will be affected one way or another by this upsurge in enrollments. New buildings, repairs or additions to old ones, more textbooks and supplies, more elementary school teachers, more of everything it takes to educate our youth. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, or just a good community neighbor, you have a vital stake in helping to make sure the boys and girls in your town receive the education they deserve. If you're wondering what you personally can do to promote improved educational conditions in your community, write to the National Citizens Commission for the Public Schools. I'll repeat that. The National Citizens Commission for the Public Schools, 2 West 45th Street, New York City 19. For information about how citizens in other communities are taking action to improve their schools. Remember, better schools make better communities. How about that? We've all heard stories, some real life, some fictional, some humorous, about doctors who sew up their patients after an operation but somehow forget to remove surgical sponges. Well, with an eye to your well-being, the Department of Agriculture has developed a new synthetic sponge made of starch. Now, if the sponge is left behind after the needlework's been done, you needn't worry. The starch sponge is quickly absorbed by body fluids. While applauding all such progress, we'd like to add this note of caution. There must be an easier way to get starch into your system. How about that? Your host has been Gregory Abbott, who signs himself sincerely yours and hopes you'll be listening next week to How About That?